Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we're glad to have you with us tonight. We've got some special guests that are going to be on the line joining us here this evening. Hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. If you're having trouble hearing the signal on the air, of course, you can always go to the website for the radio station, WHKWradio.com. That's WHKRadio.com, and get you the signal that way. Listen to the program, and we're glad to have you tonight. Want to mention up front that with our guests on this evening, we're going to hold our phone calls really until the second half of the program tonight. If you've got some questions, we want to hear from you, but we'll be giving out those numbers, and that way we can get you on the air as well. But just for reference, toll-free since I can see my paper here, 888-677-9673 will get you on the air tonight. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Lord, we do pray that you would bless. And I thank you that we can have Daryl and Joni Bolton on the radio with us tonight, that they can share their story of what the devil tried to do to them to oppose your work, and how you preserved them through it, how you intervened, and how you preserved them and helped them to be a witness and a testimony for you in a very powerful way. Father, bless the program tonight. We do pray the things that we talk about would be encouraging to people. And if there's somebody searching that wants to know how they can know the truth of the Word of God, and how they can know for sure that they can have their sins forgiven and be in heaven for all eternity with you, we just ask that some of the things that we talk about tonight, that the Holy Spirit of God would move upon their heart and help them to put their faith in Christ as their Savior before it's too late. Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, as I said in our beginning here tonight, we have special guests on the program with us tonight, Daryl and Joni Bolton. And Joni Bolton wrote a book called With Unwashed Hands, and they're going to be sharing their testimony here this evening. And like I said, if you have a question, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. And if you don't mind waiting until we get through the first half of our program, after the break at 11:30, we're going to be opening up the phone lines, but we'd love to hear from you tonight. And but right now, we're going to go right to our guests. And we have with us, as I said, Daryl and Joni Bolton. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you.
Good evening. You sound like you're coming in pretty clear on our end, so hopefully you can hear us pretty good. And you know, it was exciting to hear about your story. Pastor McBride on LinkedIn posted a link about your, or a comment about your book With Unwashed Hands, and I read that, and I followed the link to the website, and it just intrigued me reading about your a little bit about your story. And then I do want to thank you for the PDF copy that you sent me to look at. And I just got to have you folks on and share your story with our radio audience tonight. And if you could just introduce yourselves, give your website, and just to give a real quick overview of your backgrounds and how you happened to wind up going through this, I sure appreciate that tonight.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Whoever wants to go first.
My name's Joni Bolton, and yes, I did just finish the book. The book could be purchased or looked at. You can read the preface at www.withunwashedhands.com. And Daryl's the one that started going on mission trips, so I'll let him share that.
All right.
Yes, this is Daryl Bolton. I was in the Air Force for 23 years. I retired from my Air Force career about 8 years ago.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much. It was my honor. And looking back, I see that God prepared us in many ways for what we're doing now, even back in the days of my early military career and our days as being a young married couple. But once I retired from the Air Force, we found a good place in Florida to retire from that career. And I had the opportunity to travel on a mission trip with an evangelist to three countries, the Philippines and Thailand and another country, which I can't remember right
now. Cambodia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Cambodia. And the purpose of the trip for me was to bring our son on a mission trip before he went off to college.
Right.
Wanted each of our boys to experience the mission field firsthand. And we went on that trip, and the Lord just really touched my heart, and I was shown how God's willing to use anybody, a willing vessel, any layman even, who's willing to go for him and proclaim the truth of the Word of God.
And that's I was going to say, that's really a good point, because a lot of times people think missions trips, so I'm going to go off for 4 or 5 years or something like that and all, but you're talking about short-term missions, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. In a matter of about three and a half weeks, we were able to work with several churches and get to many places throughout that part of Asia and preach literally to thousands and thousands of young people, people in schools, government offices, and marketplaces. And it's tremendous to see how the Word of God is reaching people around the world. So since
Absolutely.
That time, amen, I traveled for the next 7 years, going on mission trips, almost always with other pastors and evangelists and some laymen, and with the purpose of spreading the gospel around the world and encouraging the missionaries that are out there doing the work of God.
And having been missionaries ourselves, my wife and I, you a lot of times you don't realize what an encouragement that is to the missionaries on the foreign field, especially because, you know, here in the States, we're used to having evangelists come through, special speakers come through, but on the mission field, oftentimes, you just don't have that opportunity until somebody such as yourself comes around. And it's a real blessing and encouragement to missionaries. But it was on this missions trip that the course of the book with Unwashed Hands takes place.
Yes, yes. My wife and I and another missionary friend had planned to travel for about 3.5 weeks to three different countries, and we had a full schedule lined up, and the events of the book began to unfold in the first country where we were, and it just drastically changed our schedule and our lives.
And, you know, I'm reading the book, and like I said, I started after our Friday night Bible study. I started reading, and I just kept going. I just sat there reading it. It just was unbelievable. I told your wife earlier when we were getting ready for the program in a call previously, I said that, you know, my wife's an RN, and I've got a biology degree myself, so I could recognize some of the things that you're talking about, and it's just mind-boggling. And for our listeners, if you could set up how this happened and how you wound up there in the hospital and really what the devil tried to do there in that country.
Okay. I'll tell you how it started, and I'll let my wife tell the story because she's really the one that wrote the book, and my perspective was completely different, being that I was the one laying in the bed and with all the medications
going
to me. But we landed to the country where we were excited to start ministering in with a wonderful missionary and his family. They had been there maybe 20 years and had a great ministry. We got there Friday evening, and on Saturday morning we went out and met for a men's Bible study and prayer time, and the ladies met. Then we went out to witness and pass out gospel tracts and invite people to church. And about lunchtime that day, I started to feel something very strange going on inside of my tummy, pain I never felt before. And by dinner time, it turned out to be excruciating pain. And the best way I found to describe it was that it felt like lightning was inside of my body and trying to shoot out. It was just literally unbearable, and I had to go to the ER. And I was sent to the ER and admitted in that third world country
right.
on Saturday night.
And really, a lot of people don't appreciate when you talk about going to an ER in a third world country. It's not quite like going to Cleveland Clinic here in our area or one of the major metro hospitals, and probably most of our listeners might be familiar with.
Exactly. I've told people it's almost like watching an old television program, maybe from the 1950s or mm-hmm. early 60s, and seeing the equipment there in that program. And that was their version of modern equipment and modern medicine.
Oh, right. In the Samoan Islands where we were, my wife volunteered in a hospital, and they didn't even have some of the basic supplies that they would take for granted. They had to learn how to mix their own stuff, like they used to do years ago. It's just absolutely amazing. But we'll get off the subject there. So you wound up in the ER and with this pain, and so we'll go ahead and proceed from that point.
Well, I was checked by a doctor, and he poked around and prodded and pushed here and there all around my belly. He was asking me, does this hurt? How does this feel? And does that hurt? And I didn't have much pain when he was pushing, but the pain I felt on the inside. Basically, I didn't have the symptoms he was looking for. So from the beginning, he didn't know what I had, and he wasn't sure
right.
how he was going to proceed to treat me. But one thing he did say was, you need a CAT scan. You definitely need a CAT scan so we know what's going on. But he sort of pointed out, well, it's Saturday night, and the guys that run that equipment, they won't be here till Monday morning. So we'll wait. You won't get a CAT scan or any real treatment until Monday at the earliest.
Right. So after the so you waited basically all weekend and before you could get the test that you needed.
Yes. Yes, and I was starting to decline. We had no idea what was going on. My guess was maybe kidney stones,
mm-hmm.
and I was way off. And I'll let Joni finish telling the story from there.
All right, and go ahead.
Well, part of what became our problem was when Daryl was admitted, he was wearing an Air Force T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not know at the time that that particular country, which we do not name in the book, the missionaries that live there did ask us to not put the name of the country for their safety.
Right. So I understand that totally.
Yes. So when he was admitted, we didn't realize that that country and the U.S. had had some issues. And there was actually a big conflict while he laid in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
which did not add to the doctor's treatment of my husband. But he asked Daryl a few questions. You know, it was apparent he didn't like America because he told us so, and
right.
he put down America's health care, which was, we had to not say anything back because he was the one that would ultimately put my husband in surgery.
Right.
So I wasn't going to make any waves. I just bit my tongue and just listened. But he would put down our health care and different things, and he had a look of disgust at times towards Daryl, and he left him in that shirt for many days. He would not give him a gown or mm-hmm. hospital clothes for a long time, and that was a little hard, but I still didn't want to make the situation any worse.
Well, understandable. So and you weren't a medical expert when you went in there either, were you?
No, I was not. But I did make a few suggestions because I know Daryl's had a little bit of trouble with diverticulitis, so I asked that, and he actually snapped at me and the missionary wife that thought maybe it was peritonitis, and he snapped at us asking how long we went to medical school. So we became afraid of him, and we really backed off and just watched and mainly prayed.
And of course, that's in your book where your husband really took a turn for the worse, and you had to deal with your husband's declining health, this doctor that really didn't seem to want to bring much help. And, of course, you had language and culture barriers. And then while you're here in Asia dealing with one situation, you got word, I believe you said, of a tragic situation back home that was going on as well, didn't you?
Yes, I was caught off guard with that. Yes, and so I was watching my husband turn green. He had sepsis and peritonitis, and basically what happened is the doctor found out he had a ruptured colon on Monday but chose not to repair it and then feigned care all day Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, until Daryl demanded his own surgery.
Right.
But in between those two surgeries, I had a very tragic loss back home, and there was nothing I could do about it. I could only love my family from afar.
Right.
And watch and pray for my husband. I could not leave his
side. Right. And you know, that's a good good testimony, because, you know, at times when we don't know what else to do, we don't know where else to turn, all we can do is turn to the Lord and pray.
Right.
And put
right.
people in the Lord's hands, and because sometimes situations are beyond us. And how long was your husband there in that hospital?
About 14 days in that particular hospital. And as you read, there was a secondary internal infection because of the doctor's conditions, from whence we named our the book,
right, with
unwashed hands, that caused his, where we almost lost him a second time.
Well, and certainly any kind of surgery like that, and you think of just the basics of washing your hands, using gloves, things like that to prevent infection, and to see, you know, to read how this doctor would come in and poke around this open wound with unwashed hands.
Right.
And
yes.
you said something toward the end, I guess, when you were in that country and the last time you talked with the doctor, that I thought really was amazing. And I've wondered, you know, since reading that, you know, if maybe God might be sometime working in this guy's heart, because he asked if your husband had received special training when he was in the military, because he was like Superman.
Right, right. It all made sense many months after we were home. I mean, I knew that there's something too, obviously you read, is too graphic to discuss on the radio.
Right.
Of what he let happen to my husband, that's just inexcusable.
Well, exactly. And as I was reading it, I would read parts to my wife, and she would just shake her head. And we both agreed, like some of the testimonies that you have on your website and at the back of the book, that your husband should not have survived.
No, he should not. And if I could give
exactly.
him a purple heart, that man would have a purple heart.
Well, that's for sure. And I'm sure the Lord had a reason for allowing you folks to go through this. And like you said, you had a secondary hospital stay when you moved from that country. You weren't able to come back to the States because of your husband's strength, and you had to stay in Thailand, I believe it was. And you even wound up in the hospital. And yet, God blessed, and here you are on the radio with me today. It's amazing.
He showed
tonight.
Himself faithful. There was times when I was going through my great loss that I stepped on a balcony, mm-hmm. and I truly needed a sign from God that he was aware that I was on a ninth-floor balcony, mm-hmm. needing something from him. And he showed himself so mighty that he used an animal he created to make me so aware that I was special to him.
Amen.
It was marvelous.
You know, it's an amazing story. And again, I urge our listeners to check out your website with unwashedhands.com and maybe even take a look at your book. I mean, this is it's amazing what God brought you through. And again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to be taking phone calls here in a few minutes, 888-677-9673. If you have questions for Daryl and Joni Bolton regarding their experiences and what God has done since then. And really, I wanted to touch on that before we go to our bottom of the hour break. You know, what are probably some of the biggest lessons that you guys have taken away from this, and what God, you've seen God do in your lives and those close to you?
My testimony, Pastor, is that in our time of need, as a child of God, mm-hmm. God's graciousness and his mercy and his love, I personally felt like as if I was the only person in the universe in God's own hand, literally in the palm of his hand, because through everything that was happening, I had such peace and comfort and just almost indescribable in words, the wonderful communion I felt with the Lord at that time in my life when I needed it so
Amen.
Badly.
Amen.
It was tremendous.
And it's, yeah, I was thinking of 1 Peter 3, where I think there, and it was about verse 14, where he says, "But and if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And, you know, that's a good example of that. You know,
right.
Not being troubled because, you know, God revealing himself to you in such a special way.
Yes, that was part of my mindset going into the hospital. I knew we were doing what God wanted us to do. I knew it was there for his glory and his benefit. And when we got to the hospital, we didn't plan on that, but we thought we might be witnessing to people maybe in the streets or in schools or in meetings. But instead, Joni ended up witnessing to people in the hospital and on the hospital staff.
Right.
And six or seven of them were saved.
Oh, praise the Lord.
In that country, they speak multiple languages. So mm-hmm. God still used our testimony and our ministry in a different way than we planned, but it all pointed toward his might and his power and his provision in our lives.
And I'm sure that they're probably still talking about this because wasn't that long ago. And, you know, like I can't emphasize it enough, you never should have medically survived the mistreatment that you suffered, let alone the malady that you suffered. You shouldn't have survived the mistreatment either. And God had a tremendous plan, I think, for the two of you. And it might have seemed hard at the time to understand, but, you know, it's just amazing to hear your story.
Yes, it was a surprise to all of us to find out what I had. They finally discovered I had a ruptured colon.
Mm-hmm.
They had to do the surgery, remove a section of my colon. The sigmoid colon was removed.
Right.
I was given a colostomy, so my life was changed for several months after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until we were back in the States and things started to become clearer and clearer, and Joni did some research before writing her book about what should be done when someone's diagnosed with a ruptured colon.
Oh, absolutely.
And the answer is immediate life-saving
exactly.
surgery.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's what never happened in our case.
So. Right, because if you don't, you develop peritonitis, you can go septic, and you can actually be gone in a matter of days or less. You know,
right.
I know my wife has dealt with people and mm-hmm. who have been, you know, going septic and had peritonitis and things like that. And it's a very serious problem, even here in the States, when you have the most advanced medical care. Yet you had something that a lot of people here in the States don't have. You had the great physician, didn't you? And what a blessing to read your story.
Like a major story of the battle of good and evil.
That's right. You know, it sounded like, you know, reading the book of Job somewhat when I was reading your story about how it just things kept piling on the two of you. And, of course, Daryl, being, you know, on pain medication, a lot of that sometimes didn't know how much you were suffering, Joni, with the things that were going on either, did he?
No, he was so weak. He could barely speak. And so we just had to pray. And that was my big lesson from everything, is the power of prayer.
Amen.
There was nothing I could do. I couldn't even express how ill Daryl was,
mm-hmm.
lest it would make our family and our children so fearful. And
right.
there was nothing they could do but pray. So I was vague. I was vague in the doctor's treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how the Holy Spirit would wake up friends in the middle of the night, or they would let them know, the Holy Spirit would let them know, mm-hmm. it's worse than she said. Saying and writing, and they would pray so hard, and I would be so calm. It was just a miracle how God would hear their prayers and answer them so specifically, like mm-hmm. bringing in another doctor to save Daryl's life. And
right.
it wasn't just any doctor. It was the number one surgeon in the whole country. It was amazing. And so when our friends finally heard the whole story, when we finally got back to America, their strength, their faith was grown because God heard their prayers and answered in a miraculous way.
Amen.
It was amazing.
You know, and I like what you said about that, because they didn't know what was going on, and you had to be strong, and plus dealing with a tragedy going on at home at the same time, you know, you didn't want to, you know, cause suffering for them either, you know, in
right.
the midst of everything. And yet God knew everything that was happening. And in what seemed to be chaos, God was in control. And just a tremendous story. And tell us about your website again here. We're going to go to the break in just a couple of minutes. But go ahead and give the website out again.
It's the title of the book, withunwashedhands.com. And there's a there's a link for the preface, and it is available on Kindle, Nook, and iBookshelf, as well as the hard copy as well.
And the proceeds of that book go to help out with what?
Going on more mission trips.
There we go. You know, now, I'm glad you said that, and that was kind of part of my reason for saying it. Also, I hope that people buy the book and help support your missions work. But, you know, after what you went through, a lot of people would be saying, how could you do it again? How could you go back to the field again? How could you go on another one of those trips? But there you are, to go on more mission trips.
Amen.
That's exciting testimony. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. And got about a minute left. You know, I just want to encourage people, if you're listening and you want to know more about this story, we've kind of gone quickly over something that took place over several months. And really, the Boltons are still probably recovering from some of these things that took place. And you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're going to open up the phone lines here. And after we come back out of the break, if you've got some questions and if you're curious, maybe want to know more about what happened or some questions about how God blessed the Boltons during this incredible ordeal that they went through. And why don't you give us a call tonight? We'll be with you until midnight tonight. Stick with us. We got another half an hour to go. God bless. Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we're going to be opening up our phone lines with our guests, Daryl and Joni Bolton. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We're talking about their book, With Unwashed Hands. It tells a story of how on a missions trip Daryl Bolton was struck with a life-threatening illness in a third world country and the things that they went through. And we're going to get back with the Boltons here in just a moment, see how God preserved them and God's using them still today. But, of course, just wanted to let you know, of course, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza, the home of the homemade pizza, is located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights and right across from the high school. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. And you can call them, as I said, pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself without the high franchise fees, call Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and he can help you find out how you can get started for a lot less than what you might imagine. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Well, we're back to Daryl and Joni Bolton and their book, With Unwashed Hands, A True Story of a Doctor's Betrayal and Divine Deliverance. And welcome back to the program, and I'm glad that you were able to be with us tonight. So welcome back.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
And and again, invite people to call in that toll-free number, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question for the Boltons and you want to find out some more perhaps about how Joni was able to make it through this, taking care of her husband, dealing with her family, and trying to keep her own head straight during all of this and not get too anxious, and how the Lord helped her, how Daryl went through the things that he went through, feel free, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open, and you can get through right now. Again, as we were talking before the break, you're talking about how some of the lessons that you personally have learned from this. And, you know, sometimes when we go through these things, we go through the, I tell people at funerals sometimes, talk about the 23rd Psalm, going through the valley of the shadow of death. And I think your experience kind of exemplifies that you were in the shadow of death with some of those experiences. And we go through those, God uses us, but sometimes it does affect us, not just spiritually, but sometimes physically. And, you know, how are you guys able to keep coping, and what's happening in your lives today, health-wise? Are you able to still continue in the ministry and continue doing what God wants you to do?
Yes, Pastor, I'd say that we both know we're doing exactly what God wants us to do when we're on our mission trips and helping missionaries reach the people in their area with the word. So so it's our heart's desire to do that work. And my physical abilities have been limited now through the four surgeries I've had. I have hernias as a result and have a 20-pound lifting limit. But outside of that, our lives are very normal. We can travel. We can minister. There's a lot of things we can do still. So I can preach and teach and sing with the kids and adults, and it's been tremendous. In the last year, we've been able to go on 6 mission trips, which has been since the events of 2 years ago.
Well, and certainly this story, you know, shows how, you know, God can bless, and I'm sure it's opened doors for you here to minister to people and testify of God's grace, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I've had the opportunity to speak about what's happened several times, and my condition, I've got my own version of the story, being the one in the bed and the one with the pain and the one with the medications. But one thing was that I love telling people about is I learned that we can bare our soul and pour out our heart to God in prayer, and it doesn't have to be the most eloquent and beautiful and long prayer that you can conceive or muster up. in my condition, I was weak. I lost 24 pounds through the process, and I was able to express my whole heart to the Lord by saying a short prayer. One of them was, "I love you, Lord," and another one of my prayers was, "Help me, Lord," and the third one was, "Thank you, Lord," and I found myself just praying that almost continuously, and my communion was very special with God at that time. My physical state was so decreased, but my relationship and spiritual state with the Lord was increased to heights I never imagined.
It's amazing. I'm thinking of Peter when he went out on the water, you know, and he was walking on the water at first, and then he looked away from Jesus and he began to sink. He had one of those long, intricate prayers too. Help me, Lord, help.
I know that prayer.
Yeah, and you know, those three prayers that you shared, they might have been short, but all three of those were packed with incredible theological insights. You know, really, you went through a school of theology that most people never go through. You know, the guy in the Bible that keeps coming to my mind, as I said earlier, is Job, in the type of things that he went through. And not many people are called to suffer like that for the cause of Christ. And yet, you know, you and Joni were, and she might not have had the physical pain that you had, but she sure had the spiritual, emotional pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that the both of you could go through this incredible suffering and challenge and still want to go back and serve God. And, you know, like the guy that gets thrown off the horse and gets back up and gets on again. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Right. It's a great testimony.
Right. I don't think for a moment either of us ever considered not continuing our ministry, and it's just been the joy of our hearts to serve the Lord and actually experience what He's doing around the world. We were able to go to Africa in the past year to two different countries, and just to see how God's reaching people there and bringing them joy in their lives and the tremendous blessings people have through getting to know Him and getting involved in their local churches has just been tremendous.
Amen. Yeah, I looked up a passage while we were on the break there, and I wanted to share with people and, again, encourage people. If you want, this is a live program. You can call in if you've got questions for Daryl and Joni, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. But I was looking at Isaiah chapter 43, and in Isaiah chapter 43, you know, the first two verses there, you know, the Bible says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And this is the same God that wrote this, that expressed this to Isaiah to be penned down and preserved for us to read here tonight. This is the same God that was with you when you walked through the waters and when the rivers threatened to overflow you and when you went through the midst of the fire. It's the same God, isn't it, that took care of the both of you?
That's right. I remember, Pastor, when I was in ICU for a couple of days after the major surgery, and I was so thankful for even the tiniest little thing that came my way. I was just thankful for the medical care I had and the gentle and kind nurses in that country. And, you know, they would bring a sip of water. I don't know if you've ever had a major surgery, but, you know, they deny you just about everything except the intravenous fluids. So that those first several sips of water, little ice cubes, it was just like, you know, manna from heaven.
Right.
And one day, I think it was the second day in ICU, one of the nurses was walking up to tend to me, and I was in and out of kind of a sleepy state, so I was resting a lot. And she came up, and she said something like, you're different, Mr. Bolton. Mm. And I thought, oh, this is my chance to witness to this nurse. But I was so weak, I couldn't do much preaching, but I was able to tell her these words: "I believe God."
Amen.
And then that was it. I was exhausted after that sermon, and then I went back to sleep. But
that's with your long, lengthy prayers too.
That's right. It fits right in with that whole message.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful. Even that that much out of it and medicated and recovering from surgery, she saw something, and I just pray that God will use a testimony of someone who declares mm-hmm. our Heavenly Father, the Lord God, as the true God, and not one of the other many religions in that part of the world.
Right, and that actually brings up a question that I kind of occurred to me when I was reading the book. Joni mentioned a little bit about some of the nurses and have an opportunity to lead a couple, several of them to the Lord. But in general, we know that this doctor apparently, had a great deal of animosity to you being an American, being a retired Air Force officer, and all of that. But some of the other staff members that came around, housekeepers, nurses, whatever. Did God bring any special people into your life while you were going through this that were able to give you, just a little, a few bright spots like the ice, like you said, and things like that?
George from the kitchen.
Well, right. I remember that man from the book. Yeah, go ahead and share about that.
Oh, he was a delight. Once he found out Daryl needed protein, he would come up every single day and mention different things, saw what Daryl was maybe in the mood for, because Daryl needed to eat. It was drastic, his condition, and he created chicken nuggets. They were never on the menu, but he made them for us. It was wonderful, and George ended up getting saved in our hospital room the night of our discharge. It was amazing, and he wanted me to call his wife to share the news, because his wife and son had already been saved, and he thought he had to wait till he was good enough. And I told him we would never be good enough to get saved.
Yeah.
We get saved because we aren't good enough.
And an interesting thing with that, his wife and son were saved already, and I'm sure they had been praying for his salvation. And look what hospital, God brought you into. And of course, George from the kitchen wasn't just any cook, was he?
No.
God brought you a chef.
Yes.
Not just any old cook. He brought you a chef and gave you the opportunity to feed him the bread of life. And what a blessing. God does some pretty amazing things if we'll only stop and think about it. It's just incredible. Again, I can't thank you enough for being on the program today. And I know a lot of times when we get going with a topic like this or something, a lot of people are too busy listening, because I'll have people later on tell me, we would have called in, but we were too busy listening. And before we knew it, time was up on the program. And, it's great having you on. And again, I do want to remind people that we still got about another 15 minutes or so to go tonight. And time will run out before we know it. If you want to give a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. This is your opportunity to do that. And, Daryl and Joni, I mean, just hearing your testimony and seeing what you went through reading the book, there are people who are healthy and people who don't have any medical problems and limitations whatsoever, and they make up all kinds of excuses why they can't go to the mission field. They make up all kinds of excuses why they can't even get involved in their own local church. And yet here the two of you went through this incredible experience, and an experience that you would think would turn you off completely, the idea of going to another country to share the gospel with people and give you every excuse imaginable to not go back. And yet here you are. You can hear the love of Christ in your voices. You can see how Jesus is working in your heart and still giving you a love for those people. A question that occurred to me while we were talking: if you could see that doctor today, and again, we don't want to get into the names or anything, and just seeing how God's working in your hearts, what would you want to say to him? Because I think people are thinking that. What would you, if you could see him today, having been through all this, what would you want to do? What would you want to say?
Daryl or me?
Either one. I know it kind of puts you on the spot with that, but I think it's kind of interesting when you think about what you're talking about, and just kind of ask you that a little bit.
Well, he had asked us, as Daryl's being discharged, Mm-hmm. And he would ask him, and he'd look up and down his body, and he'd say, I don't understand your body. It's like you're Superman. Well, we understood later that for him to purposely delay repairing his ruptured colon, he didn't want his patient to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparent now how many days he let that go. And as sick as he was, he was getting green, and this fever was spiking, and it was apparent that he was just waiting for him to pass, and mm-hmm. the Lord had other plans. But so we didn't understand the Superman comment. I look forward to the day that we could go back to this country, and I would first go to that hospital and find that doctor, and so I could explain that it was not the Air Force, and it was not Daryl's health and taking vitamins or exercise that prevented him from passing. He is not Superman. It was God that spared his life.
Amen.
And I would want to make sure that he was introduced to that same God who would be willing to save him, and that he would be able to be saved and go to heaven too.
Right, right. And, you know, that's a profound testimony, to have been through what you've been through and to have a burden for that doctor's soul. You know, it's... That's a work of God. That's what that is. That's a work of God. And you think about what Jesus went through. You know, he was persecuted for our sake. And yet, as he hung on the cross, he prayed for those that crucified him. Amazing. And that's a part of being Christ-like, isn't it? Letting God work in your heart and even give you a love for your enemies. That's God. That's not human nature by any means. That's God.
Right. Prayer was so pivotal to our whole time. We were maybe 2 months overseas altogether, and instead of traveling to three countries and doing a normal missions trip for us, it was in and out of hospitals and emergency rooms. And our missionary friend, Dr. Dave Douglas, he's in contact with many churches and many individuals that have supported his ministry for several years, and he put out a couple of special emails early on as to our situation. And we had churches and individuals we had never met begin to pray for us, and we each knew that the power of prayer was in effect. And Joni, part of her testimony is that she's even felt like a wave of calm and peace overcame her when she needed it most through everything that was going on. And we've been able to travel a little bit and thank several of these churches and people for them, you know, believing in the God who answers prayer and how prayer is real in our lives.
That's a great testimony. You think about that. The grace of God, it's hard. It's really hard to experience that, you know, without going through situations like this. And people oftentimes don't understand, and certainly unsaved people that might be listening, people who do not know Jesus Christ personally as their Savior might be listening and struggling with the fact that both you, Daryl, and your wife, Joni, can have such a love for these people still and such a desire to see them come to Christ when, quite frankly, this doctor wanted you dead. And yet, you know, you can hear it in your voices, a concern, a burden for his soul and for others. And, you know, unsaved people can't understand that. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of an individual, where God, you know, shares the love that he has for a fallen human race. And, you know, when we look at that and we see that happening in a case like such as yours, you know, it's such a profound story, such a profound, I'm trying to think of how to express what I want to say. It's such a profound example of God's grace and God's love in the midst of incredible trial. You know, most people, even Christians, would understand if I had asked, what would you say to that doctor today? And you said, I would say what I thought of him, and I would tell him, you know, what were you thinking trying to kill my husband, or why, you know, I'd like to see you suffer like that. People would understand that because that's a human reaction. But what you expressed, and I was confident, you know, we didn't discuss this beforehand. I was confident from the way you were talking that the Holy Spirit gave you that love and that burden for his soul. And, you know, to hear that expressed after such a situation, it's a work of God. And it's the Holy Spirit, you know, bearing witness to your heart and using you in a very powerful way. And I'm confident that your story is going to be instrumental in helping other people come to Christ. Maybe people who are struggling with forgiveness issues can see you and read about your story, and the Holy Spirit will work in their heart and see that if you can have a burden for somebody's soul that so horribly mistreated you, they can find it in their heart to forgive people as well. And, you know, I just want to pray God's blessing on you. We're coming out of time here, running up into the last 4 or 5 minutes of the program. If you could just real quick add some concluding thoughts here and to give your website out again one more time, I'd sure appreciate that. Now, go ahead. Either one, would you like to go first?
Pastor, I would like to add that Joni and I, we were blessed to see God's love and grace in action through the events that happened to us. In the first country where I fell ill, the missionary pastor and his wife, whom we cannot mention,
right,
they just showed us such love, mm-hmm, and such care, as if we were just one of theirs, one of their own family,
mm-hmm,
and they were so honored and happy to help us and minister to us through the whole time. And then when we made it to Thailand, and I thought I was on the path to recovery, we, through events that only God could have put together, we needed a place to stay for almost a whole month. And a stranger whom we never met, who was a missionary there in Thailand, let her. God provided for us that way. And then we had a modern-day Good Samaritan help take care of us, pick me up every single day, take me back and forth to the hospital after my third surgery there, and just bless us in a way we never. It would have been so much to ask someone for the help we needed, and we didn't need to ask. God provided for us through love, through other Christian missionaries that were there, that were just happy to be there and help the wounded man that was just laying there on the road. And I was the wounded man, and my wife was by my side, and God just provided for us in such a special way.
Right.
It's really incredible that he would do that for us.
You just never thought you could be such a witness while laying in bed, huh?
That's right. Absolutely right.
Joni, we got about a minute and a half left. Tack on a last thought there, if you could, and give the website and some information about the book again.
I just want to give thanks to God for all that he's done for us, for my husband, for sparing his life, for keeping his burden for his ministry, which is MVP missions, and to where he was able to go to six different countries since his illness and surgeries. What a blessing it is for me to watch him speak now. I believe he has more power than he ever has in his life, which is a blessing. I'm thankful for all the people that prayed for us. Many I'll never meet this side of heaven.
Right.
What answers to prayer because of their prayers. I'm just so thankful.
Right. Give me that website again, if you could, real quick. Got about 30 seconds. And
with unwashedhands.com.
All right. And all the proceeds of the book will go to help keep you folks going to the mission field and reaching people with the gospel. Daryl and Joni Bolton, I want to thank you. And I urge our listeners, go online with unwashedhands.com. Take a look at the book, and it'll be a blessing. I mean, it kept me up till 3 a.m. reading it the other night. And it's something. And to see God work, a modern miracle, you can read about it. God bless. I hope everybody will take a look at that. And thank you, Daryl and Joni. We're out of time for tonight. God bless. Join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Listen to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.